GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
Want to make the most of our time that we have with Congressman Jared Golden, the Democrat of Maine, paying us a visit behind the BPG and SS7A. I'm trying to remember, once or twice you've been in our studio. Maybe once before, or is this your first time?
First time, Rick. And the first thing I got to ask is, do they have to separate you guys?
Yeah.
That happened a long time ago.
Yeah,
contract talks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
is that thing bulletproof?
It's not really bulletproof.
So. No, it's not really.
So don't.
We fought so bad. It got physical.
They separated us. Yeah. What do you make of the madness in Washington, D.C.? All this call Ukraine, the conversation, subpoena Giuliani, subpoena Pompeo, and all the talk of impeachment. How you staying above the fray, Jared?
Rick, there's certainly a lot of craziness going on, but let's be real here. This came about because of a whistleblower's complaint that was brought forward. The investigator general of the intelligence community has said that he thought it was an urgent matter with findings that the whistleblower's allegations have credibility. And so we have an obligation to move forward and get to the facts. Now, certainly, in the media and in social media and everything going on, there's a lot of craziness going on. I would recommend that people get off their Twitter handle.
Yeah, it's hard to escape it, Congressman. It's just so hard. And we're talking about that before we went on. You have to budget your time now with news. Pompeo has announced that he was on the phone call with Trump and the Ukrainian president. I don't know whether it's going to play out. There's a story every hour. I guess basically the question has been, some Democrats are right, 200 and some odd now, have said they'd like to start the inquiry. You have to understand what impeachment really means anyway. You've kind of ridden the fence a little bit on the issue. Tell me about where you are on it and why.
I think that there are three different types of people in the House of Representatives right now, George. There are people who are clearly for an impeachment inquiry. There are people who are clearly against it. And then there's this small group of people like myself who have said that we need to treat this with the somberness and the seriousness that the matter requires, that the whistleblower's allegations, out of necessity, we must look into them and get to the facts. But we feel as though putting impeachment inquiry out there first was putting the cart before the horse. It's incredibly important. We need to stay focused on the fact-finding mission, and then we can talk about what to do about it. But we got to stay focused on the facts. So I support the subpoenas that are coming out of these committees. I think that we have to get the whistleblower in before the appropriate members of Congress, and let's just everyone take a step back and stay committed to searching for the truth and doing what's best for this country.
Talking with Congressman Jared Golden, Democrat of Maine, in our studio for GHRT. In economics, you learn something called opportunity cost. It's what you could have been doing had you not been doing something else. It's what you could have spent your money on if you weren't spending it on something. What's the opportunity cost of all of this talk of impeachment and following up? What work is not getting done in Washington, D.C., Jared?
Well, the first thing that I would say to answer your question is, again, the whistleblower brought forward his complaints, and they have to be looked into. They're too serious, and multiple people have verified that they think they are credible. So Congress is doing its job by holding investigations to look into the matter. That being said, you're completely right. The way that this is playing out in a very partisan way, it is viewed by many as purely political, despite the fact that it was started by the whistleblower. There's going to be a cost. We still have funding bills that need to be passed in order to avert a government shutdown this fall. That's incredibly important work. We need to stay focused on that. I was just telling George, I've got a small business development center reauthorization bill that I've just passed out of the House Small Business Committee. I obviously want to see that focused on and brought to a vote, helping small businesses here in the state of Maine, all over the country, very important. I think the point is, Rick, while this does need to go on, we also have an obligation to stay focused on the day-to-day workings of government and the issues that matter to people, like healthcare, infrastructure, and other things. Infrastructure was something that I continued to hold out hope that leaders of both parties and the president would come together and do something on. There was some talks, they fell apart. I think these types of partisan battles certainly make that much harder than before.
Anybody who spends any time watching some of the hearings that are held understands what a zoo they become. They become not like we do maybe in talk radio. People make speeches, and finally there's a question in there somewhere. Hopefully that's not going to happen this time. Now, Kurt Volker, is going to appear before the House Foreign Affairs Committee on Thursday. And Marie, I believe her name is Yovanovitch, as close as I'm going to come. She will appear now on October 11th. This is where now the rubber's meeting the road, asking direct questions. I don't know if who's going to do the questioning. Hopefully, and I say this respectfully, I hope it isn't just congressmen. I hope there are people who aren't going to be making speeches to get reelected who are going to be doing the questioning. I think the American public would like to hear questions and answers. Is that reasonable?
George, that's completely reasonable. I have, you know, observed in committee, in the Armed Services Committee, Small Business Committee, that some people prefer to treat their 5 minutes as, you know, kind of refining and improving upon the art of the, you know, question statement. Or, you know, they don't really ask questions. They just kind of use their 5 minutes to talk about themselves, and then they cut it and put it out on social media. Mm-hmm. And,
you know, they're pretty good at that.
They're good at it, right? I think that the process is critically important here. For the good of the country, these hearings need to be treated, and, you know, we need to take a very professional approach. So, George, I would agree. I think that they would be smart to limit who's asking questions to the people who are most professional, most serious, most credible.
Let me ask you, the foundation for this, if you take a step back, it all goes back, or much of it goes back, supporters of President Trump say it goes back to the actions of former Vice President Joe Biden and his son. From what you've heard about that and Ukraine and that energy company, should those be investigated as well?
So they've been looked into, Rick, and the thing that I would say is the you know, prosecutor general in Ukraine has come out himself in May of 2019 and said there's no there, that the investigations into Burisma had concluded, mm-hmm. and that in addition, Biden's son was not involved in any way in any kind of accusations of wrongdoing. He was on the board. You know, look, I think it's a pretty easy piece of advice. I would tell people to think long and hard before getting involved in any kind of dealings in Ukraine right now. It's a war-torn country, you know, known to have had a lot of corruption. So I think that was a poor decision. But I think that this is really an effort to distract from the substance of the Mueller investigation and report, which, as you know, I came out after having read the report and said I don't think that there's anything in there that warrants impeachment. Mm-hmm. However, there were things in there that were concerning to me. Just as I have problems with the president's phone call with the president of Ukraine, I've pushed a very consistent message. This country and our elected leaders have to come together and agree that it's inappropriate, it's unacceptable in any way to involve foreign entities in American elections. It's got to be a clear red line. I don't know how it's possible in America today that we can't agree upon that.
Some people have a lot of problem in Washington understanding that we have co-equal branches of government. And the president is not a monarch. The founding fathers didn't want that. They made sure of that. But the impeachment process, as we're going through it right now, is really not fully understood by the average person. And why should it be? You know, it wasn't understood completely by the founding fathers. They didn't give you a roadmap to it. High crimes and misdemeanors, for instance, is not a legal term. What may be impeachable to one is not impeachable to another. So we're, in some ways, even though we've had it, what, three times in our history, nobody's ever been impeached. The likelihood of this president, maybe any president, being removed from office through impeachment is not very likely. Nixon resigned because they came through the door and said, "Mr. President, we don't have the votes." Where do we end up here? Where do you think we end up?
So you make a good point, George. This is a process that is not well understood, I think, by the public. You can see that right now in the media coverage where people are conflating support for an inquiry with support for impeachment, even though it is far more complicated than that. I'm sure that there are many Democrats, I hope, like myself, who are withholding judgment and waiting to, you know, follow this through, find the facts. And then, like you said, it's a personal decision at that point on whether or not something is impeachable. Jeff Flake, former Republican senator, put an op-ed out this week saying that he believes the president has committed an impeachable offense. However, he rightfully pointed out that the Constitution does not mandate it, the statute does not govern, and that it's a personal decision. He predicts that there are not 20 Senate Republicans who are interested in having serious conversation about this. But he did call upon them to condemn the actions of this president. Now, I'm that's kind of what I expect, George. That's why I have taken the position I have, that this needs to be a transparent process that is focused on the facts, as bipartisan as it possibly can be. Because if this becomes purely a partisan issue, that's not going to be good for the country. You know, there's nothing good will come of it, and likely acquittal in the Senate. At the end of the day, I think what Democrats need to remember, we need to stay focused on things like healthcare, things like infrastructure, and trying to work with Senate Republicans to put together some good work for the people of America.
I don't think Adam Schiff did himself any favors in presenting his parody of the phone call. And George and I got a copy of what at least CNN issued as what the White House released as the transcript of the phone call. And George and I read the parts on the air. I was President Trump. He was the president of Ukraine. It was very entertaining. You might want to... I'm sure you have other things to listen to other than that, Jared.
I'll try and go back and listen.
Get your copy of that if you want. But was there anything within that transcript, if we are to take that it was actually what was said, what was so troubling about that transcript? What was in the transcript that causes a red flag? Because I had trouble finding a red flag in there.
So the first thing I would point out, Rick, I was an 0351 infantry assaultman. That's anti-tank specialty. I personally carried an 80-millimeter rocket launcher. I attached out to the rifle platoon. Now, my brothers who were attached to weapons company employed the Javelin system. Now, the president of Ukraine said that they were ready to have discussions about purchasing Javelin anti-tank weapon systems. Now, this is critically important. They got to keep Russian armor out of the fight or else they're in trouble. You saw what the president said. I want you to do me a favor, though. And he starts talking about CrowdStrike. And this gets back to the origins, he believes, of the Mueller investigation and efforts of the FBI to look into Russian interference in the 2016 election. He also goes on to say, you know, there's also this issue of Joe Biden. To me, that is playing awfully loose and fast with asking for foreign involvement in the American election system. It raised the hair on the back of my neck. I think that you can only truly understand the phone call with the full context of what is in the whistleblower's complaint, as well as what the officials on the phone call have to say. And that does include listening to the other side. I think it's important that we have Secretary Pompeo, you know, Attorney General Barr come in and talk about this as well. This has to be, like I said, a transparent, open process.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.